Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Dallas of Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive, taking the Maryland Crab Cake Tour, presented by the Maryland Lottery, back out on the road this week. We'll be at the Y in Randallstown on Tuesday, and then headed to Reader's Crab House up in the Reisterstown area on the 26th. We're putting something together in 2 weeks over Costas and Timonium that it's not official, so I can't let you know about that. We're also going to be at the 1623 Brewing up in beautiful Eldersburg with my pal Mike McKelvin, who's got some old Vince Bagley stories and Baltimore sports stories. And I'm doing my Vince Bagley out on the video right now. Luke Jones is here right now. He is trying to do his Kikuchi, left-handed. I don't know. We're going to play outdoor baseball. They moved the game times back. I'm like, oh, they have thunderstorms. It's 105 degrees in Tampa in the middle of June. And amidst all of this George Steinbrenner feel, which gives me the itches, and then they're going to go to Yankee Stadium, which gives them the itches. We're going to talk. We talked about the optimism with the team and them playing better baseball and beating up on the Angels and whatever this period would be, and whether they're buyers or sellers. And whether Mike Elias is the general manager of the future or the here and now, and what Cal Ripken is doing, saying Mike's our guy. Like, I don't know what this guy's doing who owns the team, but there's just none of this that's like connecting. I was at the Greek festival over the weekend at St. Nicholas. Hi, Dimmy. Hi, Konstantinos. And everyone that was there. Delicious Kotambiatis. I got to be honest with you, which may be late for Luke this morning with my coffee here. We're also doing the show at Zeke's Coffee, by the way, too, with Rasig. We're doing his whole Laravel Friday morning coffee mafia. We're going to be hanging out over there. So we're looking forward to that. That's in early July as well. Blockbuster trade happens over the weekend, Luke. And then Ohtani's going to pitch. Now, that's a little curious, just unto itself. But then there's the Orioles messaging, right? Like, and I watch the television programming. I watch it like I'm Greg Bader. Like I'm like a guy who's programmed a radio station for, oh, I don't know, 28 years, or give or take. And I hear interim manager, and I know how pissed off Palmer is about all of it and getting his games cut and just in general. Then I hear Brian Roberts and I think I love you, but it's not great. Everybody loves Ben. Everybody loves Kevin Brown. He goes away for a little while. And I just see, like, from the broadcast down and the way they're broadcast and where they are, I can always sort of get the state of the team by listening to the tone of Melanie Newman or the tone of the broadcasters and what's going on in the locker room and who's in and out. Dave Johnson did some games last week. I love Dave. And he has his own insights as a player, at a kid, the whole deal. He sees the game differently as a pitcher, which I think is a real benefit to Ben and to Jim Palmer. But I just see the whole totality of all of it, and I still want to measure it as they go on the road as a last place team that was scuffling, that's getting better. And we did our whole optimism piece about getting all the players back and all of that. This is really in relation to the Colton Cowser trade thing that I started last week, and saying that's not really what I'm saying. What I'm saying is they're going to have to give up something to get something. And the Red Sox participated in something over the weekend that it's a fascinating time of the year to have that kind of deal. And you say, what are we capable of? And Ripken says, Mike's our guy. And Rubenstein's disappeared again 5 weeks after the bobblehead's fresh, the paint's fresh. I'm trying to figure what the franchise is going to be. Then I see other teams sort of wheeling and dealing and having a good time. And certainly keeps it lively for your fan base if you're into the reality television of all of this, right?
Yeah, although I'm not sure what point you're trying to make with the Red Sox, where that's, I mean, what are they doing? Like, no, and let me be clear, I don't mean that specifically, like only about Rafael Devers, and obviously that's been a saga that, if you're even a casual baseball fan, you've been aware of what's happened there with, they signed Bregman, they want Devers to DH. He acquiesces, albeit reluctantly. And then Tristan Casas goes down for the year with a season-ending injury, and they want him to play first base. And he's like, well, wait a minute. You wanted me to be the DH. You didn't like my defense at third base, and now you're asking me to learn a new position in the middle of a season. I can understand it to a point. On the flip side, I also understand the Red Sox saying, hey, We gave you a $300 million contract 2 years ago, and you're not being a team player. So I understand both sides of that, but I also look at the Red Sox and say, you just won five in a row. You just swept the Yankees. You're right in the heart of the wild card race at the very least, and you just traded your best hitter. And okay, I'll hear Bregman, but Bregman's hurt right now until he's back and healthy and in the lineup. You just traded a guy that you just gave a $300 million contract to, what, not quite 2 years ago, or 2 years ago it was. So the return they got from the Giants is not necessarily on paper looking great. You know, it doesn't look great. It doesn't look like, oh, I totally understand why they did that. You know, they've created financial flexibility for themselves, because I'd be the first to tell you, I'm guessing that Devers deal is not going to age very well when you're talking about a guy who is a DH or a first baseman at best. You know, whether he learns to or agrees to play first base for the Giants or not, you know, he's not a plus defender, never has been. That
What
said,
this is when you go into casino with $1,000 and you still got 428 left in your pocket, you say, let me just get out of here. I
yeah,
mean, I think
well,
there's a little bit of that with the contracts at this point, right?
I mean, I think so, but at the same time, if you're a Red Sox fan, you're looking at this and say, well, you're still chasing the ghost of trading Mookie Betts, right? I mean, they did that. They traded Bo, you know, they didn't re-sign Bogarts, which that's looking like that was the smart thing to do. But you know, you've bailed 2 years into the Devers deal, and okay, I'll hear it. You know, you've got Anthony, you've got Mayer, you've got Tristan Campbell. You know, they've got a young core, but you also look at the Red Sox since they last won the World Series in 18, they have one playoff appearance. And look, the Red Sox standard, and you know, comparing it to the
Dude,
Orioles,
there's
there
no
is
bad time
no
to get off the
comparison.
bus if it's going the wrong way. That's the Japanese expression of the train,
I
right?
mean, I
Like
guess.
if there's a point where like you can find a dude, I had a condo downtown 3 years into it. It just please somebody take it because I know long term this is a bad idea. And
I mean, I guess.
I'm
Could have
just
done
saying
that this
like
winter. Could have done that this winter. I mean, he's got a 900 OPS. I mean, the question's very
well, then you're
simple.
selling high,
Well,
theoretically.
I mean, I guess. I mean, but we're not talking about some, you know, this isn't Ryan O'Hearn. This is a guy who's already a three-time All-Star, right? My question would be, are the Red Sox a better team in 2025 without him? And I think the answer is no. Now, they could be better off in the long run, but at some point in time, Red Sox fans or anyone, I mean, let's, you know, obviously the Orioles haven't had a standard anywhere close to what the Red Sox have done over the last 25 years. But at the same time, you look at it and say, I don't know. I mean, is this really the best you could do for Raffy Devers? Or could you have held on to him the rest of this year and then traded him in the offseason? By the way, Bregman's got an opt out. If you're Bregman and his representation, I mean, you're laughing at this and saying, all right, I'll take my blank check now. I mean, that's what this is. So you look at it and it's just the timing is wild. I mean, everyone saw that there were problems here, but I don't think anyone was thinking that a trade was coming on June 15th, right? I mean, especially the Red Sox have won five in a row. You know, talk about tamping down the enthusiasm from a sweep of the Yankees over the weekend. You trade Rafael Devers. So it's fascinating.
Well,
I
it's
mean,
also fascinating to me to know that the emotional intelligence of the men who are running these teams is not the same as, you know, Sparky Anderson had having his in Tommy Lasorda and Earl Weaver had having their feet on the ground with players and with relationships and with who's coming and who's staying. They're all being managed, and I hear this from the top down, like a stock market fund. And there really is no. You're just selling off stock that you feel like somebody's willing to come and get you right now and get you out of a $200 million left. Just come get it. Come get it. We'll figure it out. I'm not worried about the fans. The business will go on. They all wear Red Sox gear. You
yeah.
know, they'll the old McPhail line of they'll eat the hamburger. They don't need filet mignon.
Yeah.
They'll be okay. They'll still be here next year. We need to fix our business. And I'll hear that as a guy who's had to fix my own business, right? So, I mean, I get a little bit of that, but I also understand where you're coming from. But I look at it and say, if that's It takes great conviction to make that deal, to your point. Like, it's a little shocking. But that's where we are in the business of baseball. It's really shocking when Corbin Burns goes down and you owe him $230 million too.
Sure. I mean, it takes great conviction, or you're not very smart at your job. And I think a lot of people were asking about Craig Breslow. I mean, they had their trade. By the way, I'm going to give a shameless plug here, just because I don't do this often, and there are things that I sometimes watch. If anyone has Netflix, they did a Hard Knocks-esque following of the Red Sox last year. It's really good. It's really interesting. Better access than the NFL has done with Hard Knocks in
Good
recent
to
years,
know.
which,
Very
yeah,
good to know.
it's interesting. It's like 6 or 7 episodes, like hour long. Like, it's a watch over a couple weeks, but you can binge it, and it was interesting. But yeah, I mean, if you're the Red Sox, if you're Red Sox fans, you're kind of wondering, like, okay, I think they were already 12th in payroll this year. I mean, they're clearly not spending like they used to, and that's fine if you love Mayer, you love Roman Anthony. I mean, it's kind of similar conversation that we're talking about with the Orioles, in the sense of having a young core and that it can be cheap for X number of years, but then where are you going? And
They're
I think
being
that,
managed like a team in the premiership.
I mean, it's fascinating. I mean, it really, and again, with Devers, for me, it's not that you traded Rafael Devers.
A transfer fee.
It just feels like you did it, and you didn't get a whole lot for him. And look, the Giants are taking all of the salary for the deal, but at the same time, I'm guessing that he's still going to be a really good player for at least the next 3, 4, 5 years. The last few years of that
There you
deal,
go. You love him, do you? Do you love Devers?
generally speaking, I don't love players that don't give something beyond a hit tool, but
Would you love a player that bitched about going to first base and had $200 million left on a deal?
I think their messaging was lousy, though. I mean, I think there's blame on both sides with that. I think they could have handled that part of it better, and I think they've even acknowledged as much. And on the flip side, it's also like, man, they did give you a $300 million contract. Like, don't act like they hate you, because if they truly hated you, they would have shipped you off
But
like
if he
Xander
thinks they hate
Bogaerts.
him, is it time for him to go from an employment
I
standpoint?
mean, I guess
Okay. Well, there you go.
maybe.
That's all you need to know.
Well, no, but no,
I
but
mean,
just
to me, that's all you need to know. If he didn't, if he
but
was unhappy and whatever, then it just they made a business decision.
did you get proper value for him?
Okay.
Like, I think looking at it in a pass fail way is a very narrow way of looking at it. I mean,
I think looking at it 5 minutes after it happens is narrow, no matter what we do, right? Like, in a general sense, you could say the why behind all of it. And I'm not even, I listen, I
I mean,
don't read all the
I just
drama.
kind of
And
asked what the question is, with like, where are the Red Sox going? Like, what are they trying to be? Because it honestly just feels like they're just cheaper than they used to be.
well, you asked that of Mike Elias in the offseason, and we hear the echo chamber of nothingness, right? Like, what are you trying to be signing 41-year-old pitchers and
Sure.
chasing Kyle Gibson and the
Sure.
kid from the Japanese league that may or may not be able to do this? Or, like, at some point,
But on the flip side, everyone wanted them to sign Corbin Burns and Anthony Santander, and if they did that, Anthony Santander has been hurt and bad for the Blue
lots of people
Jays,
wanted
and
them to sign Chris Davis,
yeah.
right? Like, so I wanted them to sign Jonathan Scope. So
Right.
I'll give you all of my. I thought Kent Gerhardt was going to be a 10-year play. I'll hear all the mistakes and all the hits and misses
Yeah.
of all. I mean, nobody thought Cedric Mullins would be 30-30. You know what I mean? Like, there's an up and down, like a stock market, for all of these guys, and knowing when to buy and knowing when to sell. The Orioles could have bought in on one relief pitcher in the offseason. They bought in on a different one. They could have gone different ways with their finances and their money. But now we bring in this to where the Orioles are right now, which is Cal says, Mike's our guy, right? So Mike's our guy, but what's Cal doing, and when is any of this going to have any? Now Cal's doing a goofy commercial that's just as bad as the Star Wars one. Like, I look at all of this and say, all right, man, like, winning's important, and we talk about on the field and all that, but I look at the totality of all of it, and it smacks to me of, like, they're flopping around right now and can't figure out, and you're seeing the stadium empty and the upper deck, and they're getting $600 million, and they're throwing you out of the press box, and they started to bleed out this information in the way that you speak about Hard Knocks not being as filtered, in the most filtered, nebulous ways as possible, to think that there's all this money going to come flooding in to club seats behind home plate. Great. But what's the big plan? When do you actually sit in front face and give like the real plan, not have Katie hiding in the dugout in September and been hiding ever since, David Rubenstein giving out bobbleheads, and then Ripken sitting with John Harbaugh behind home plate, and again with the broadcast, just the whole totality of what they're giving us, the Elias piece and this thing of making deals and making the team better, or status quo, or a really conservative approach to younger players and payroll and finances. What are the Orioles? You know what I mean? You're asking, what are the Reds? What are the Orioles?
Well, I mean, I was talking about the Red Sox because the Devers deal is big news. I mean, we're going to find out. I mean, a couple things. One, Cal was speaking at a Ripken Foundation event. In the same way that Mike Elias said Brandon Hyde's our guy, I mean, you always do that until you're not anymore. The first moment that you express any public doubt in one of your, even though Cal's not running the show, but your subordinate, so to speak, you might as well just fire them then, right? I mean, that's how this works. Votes of confidence are there. You support, and support publicly until you make a move. So that doesn't do much for me. The fact that he talked compared to we've heard Mike Elias speak in Milwaukee once since Brandon Hyde was fired and haven't heard him do anything since then after he had done a media tour that was all about votes of confidence for Brandon Hyde. I think that was telling, but, we. Rubenstein hasn't done any real press in, what, since last year or the beginning
Ever,
of this
really.
year, right? Certainly not in a wide scale press conference since opening day last year. But yeah, I mean, we're trying to figure that. We're trying to see what that's going to become. But I don't know, right? I mean, I can't sit here with any strong
Well, all I'm
conviction
saying
as.
is the Red Sox, as an ownership group and as a baseball leadership group, decided to basically dump some salary in the
In the
middle
middle of
of
a
the year.
season,
Right.
and for a player who's playing great, by the way, I mean, it's like if the Orioles, I don't even, there's not a comp because they don't have anyone that has a 10-year contract right now. But I mean,
Peter would have never have done that because it was really against Peter's
this would just be
core.
against, I mean, this would be the Orioles trading Gunnar Henderson tomorrow, and for a package where you would say, I don't know if that's really. And obviously it's a rough comp. Gunnar Henderson's not as accomplished as Rafael Devers. They're different players. Gunnar Henderson brings value in different ways other than a hit tool, whereas Devers, it's a phenomenal hit tool, but it's a hit tool and that's it. How well is that? My issue, let me be clear, my issue is not them trading Rafael Devers. It's trading him on June 15th for what feels like not a very good return. That's my issue more so. If they traded him this winter, I wouldn't have batted an eyelash because I also think you've completely put yourself behind the eight ball, assuming Bregman's going to opt out because he has the ability to opt out of that deal. And now it almost feels like you have no choice, but you have to pay Alex Bregman whatever he wants. And that was kind of what they had to do with Rafael Devers in the aftermath of not extending Betts and moving on from Bogarts as well. You see what I mean? I feel like the Red Sox are, it's
Maybe
almost
they
like,
didn't want the player anymore.
what changed in 2 years?
Well, he didn't
I
want to
mean,
play
he was,
first base,
well, but
right?
he wasn't a good defender 2 years ago. So I don't know. But Craig Breslow, to me, inspires no. If I were a Red Sox fan, I would have no
Dude, I
confidence
could
in what
take
they're
this to
doing.
Lamar Jackson, who, when they got together and said, "Would you be here for these OTAs?" I'm sure he said he would be. I'm sure they said, "We'll pay you $750,000. Make sure you come."
No one
And it
loves
still didn't
OTAs
happen.
like you do.
And it's just, but I'm just saying what
I
money
know. I'm
is
just.
worth to you and to me, and what the kid and you and me collecting baseball cards is how could they deal my favorite player in the middle of the year? Dude, I don't want to play old man get off my lawn with you, and you play the old guy, and me saying, I'm telling you that this becomes a boardroom game, a bunch of boardroom guys who don't think with any emotional intelligence, nor do their general managers, and they're not thinking about their fan base. They're thinking, you're a Red Sox fan. You're going to be a Red Sox fan. You'd be pissed at me today. But if we're playing playoff games next October because of this deal, in some way that we get money back that we can then turn into Gunnar Henderson or whatever that they want to turn that money into or pull the money back or. Not play the Pirates game. I'm not saying that because I mean, the Red Sox can't do that. But I think that saving a little money here and again, as opposed to pissing it away on Tyler O'Neill and Gary Sanchez and maybe Kittredge and maybe, Kyle Gibson and maybe down the line, Charlie Morton. And, it adds up and it feels like funny money to you and me. I'm promising you the reason Katie Griggs is hiding from me is it's not funny money to her. These empty seats and late getting the product to Masson and who's buying it and why are they buying it and how much are they paying and what's the per cap for everybody going down there on bobblehead night and how much money are they making and what's the real finances of the $5 menu value menu and all of that. I just the money has to come from somewhere here, and the Red Sox, to your point, considered to be flush and they just have money to throw around. I don't think baseball's like that. I don't think it's being run like that. And I think if down the middle, your vibe and knowing you 2 decades, I don't see you're more pro player or pro agent, but I think you're much more bound to maybe take that side of the fence a little bit more in this. And maybe over the course of years, I took the side of the fence of the owners have an unlimited amount of money. They're kings. And then I learned a little bit more during Peter's era about how much money went into these poor franchises and then flip-flopping. And now I worry even more when I don't see the revenue streams for these teams. And I think some bean counter comes down who bean counts the soccer leagues over in Europe, and they have a general manager they call in and say, let's unload 200 million. It'll give you more flexibility in the offseason. Take the hits right now. Fans will be pissed. You'll get killed on the talk shows up there and whatever. But when you go sign something the next time and bring them the filet mignon they want, and I think the Red Sox still think that way. I don't know what the hell they're thinking here because I haven't seen any filet mignon around here in a long time. And to your point, the Red Sox have a longer thing, but I think they're being managed differently. And I really think the sport. This may speak to the Dodgers and these other teams being managed one way and just the disparity of all of it. And I think Mr. Rubenstein's finding this out very quickly, or somebody around there that's managing it's finding it out very quickly, that just saying we're going to double revenue next year because we won 101 games. I mean, it just doesn't work that way. And I don't know where the revenue is going to come from in the long term, if the Red Sox are feeling a little bit of a pinch, because I think this might be a little bit of that. Because not a little bit, it's a lot. It's a big number, and this is cutting at the top, cutting the executives that are making all the money to save a little bit of dough.
Fair enough. I mean, but it's kind of been how they've operated the last 5 or 6 years now. I mean, going back to your point, look, if I tend to be a little more pro player, and I don't think I am across the board by any means, I
No,
certainly
I don't think you're
no.
way over. I just think down the middle.
But I would also say I have over 100 years of evidence that would support that I should be more pro player and less pro owner for any number of issues. Going back to reading Lords of the Realm and the gentleman's agreement, the reserve clause, all that. So
Touche.
anyway,
Touche.
and I know you would understand that, and I didn't take what you said to any offense or anything like
I
that.
think I've wavered over 35 years on the air. You could go back and find a voice of mine
There's, I mean,
that would
there's
be
always
very
nuance.
anti-Don Fair, very, pro Marvin Miller later on. I've managed
Nuance.
business. I've been hired. I've been fired. I've worked for big business. I've worked for small, but my heart has moved in different directions as I've had to hire and fire and build and rebuild and get kicked in the balls and get sued and just all of those things that have happened. It does change. You just philosoph my wife having kids just changes philosophically. I think these businesses change like that too, big
I
time.
think that's right. Well, and we've talked a lot about TV. And look, it's not offensive to me, or I think it's completely fair, if not obvious, to say many owners have been bad for the game, and many agents like Scott Boras haven't necessarily been good for the game either, right? I mean, they're good for their client. They're good for their specific group of clients, but is it necessarily what's best for the players across the board, right? Has the union, and we could say this about any sport. We've talked about this a lot with the NFLPA at times, where have they truly been what's been best for the players across the board, or are they catering to the players at the top of the tax bracket, right? We talked about that a lot with the 2011 CBA. One of the things the players wanted done was, revamp the draft. You didn't want all these rookies, these rookie quarterbacks getting all this guaranteed money, and they changed the system to the point where, okay, more of the established players got more money, but they kind of screwed over rookies who probably deserve more than they deserve it, more than they get at this point in time with talking about, the top 10 picks in the draft. They're underpaid now relative to the days of Sam Bradford being vastly overpaid, right? So you always have that, and there's always
They're rich enough
nuance.
to buy their mom anything they
Of
want the day they
course.
enter the league,
Of
though,
course.
right?
Well, they could say that, we could say that about anyone. You could play, at the same time, does that mean the owners should pocket more
The
money
league
then?
wasn't always that way, and the
Sure.
league got built by the owners being pricks and not caring about guys getting hit in
Sure.
the head and not caring about playing on Christmas Day and not caring about your feelings or my feelings or anybody's feelings
Yeah.
or any international boundaries or Donald Trump or taking the knee or they don't, Colin Kaepernick, they don't care about anything.
I
Like,
mean, I think the
but
so the
they've
point, yeah.
grown that. Baseball has operated within that framework of arrogance, and they haven't grown anything. Baseball has shrunk before our very eyes. And
Everything has other than the NFL. I mean, really. Everything we've talked about this. Everything's more
not
niche.
revenue, not revenue. I mean, I'm not saying baseball revenue is shrinking. I'm saying there is a real concern of where this money's coming from and who this money's coming from. And again, I always reference your mother. I reference your sister, but she lives in a household where they're all sports nuts, but they might not be Oriole nuts, and they might get the Phillies games instead. So Major League Baseball gets their money, they're happy. They don't care if you're Yankees or Mets as long as you're wearing a hat. And I think, but that being said, it is a big deal if you're the owner of the Orioles and your sister becomes a Phillies fan and never gives the Orioles a nickel, never comes to Camden Yards, doesn't buy their package, your nieces become Phillies fans, then all of their it really goes to the Phillies franchise and it screws everybody else. There's that drinking of revenue sharing and like all of that, but small market teams have to create that, which is why I keep telling Katie Griggs, coffee, just some coffee. Meet me over at Zeke's. We'll have some coffee. That you need to grow the brand and you need to, and the Red Sox are perceived as being all of this. And I think that, there is a point where if you're in a bad deal and the guy's healthy and the horse can run, sell the horse while it just ran a couple races. That's how they think. They're not thinking like Luke and Nestor collecting
Doesn't
baseball
mean they're
cards.
smart.
Well, I got that, but
Yeah.
it does when they wake up with $200 million in their checkbooks next February, and that makes them smart. I mean, I have plenty of people tell me about all of these leagues that, in indoor soccer and in minor league hockey and minor league baseball, didn't matter whether you won or lost. Did you make money? Did you make money? And that's the business they're in now. And Mr. Rubenstein, as much as he called this a philanthropy, which I heard somebody echo that to me the other day. I just chuckle that they actually had people saying that out loud, that this is a philanthropy. I mean, my goodness gracious. It's anything but a philanthropy. But which is all we're talking about here, how it's not philanthropy at all. Not for the Red Sox, not for Rafael Devers, not for anybody, but how this is going to be managed. Because, dude, I know one thing. They're never going to have as much money as the Red Sox, no
No.
matter what they do.
Well, and what you're going to end up seeing is everyone who is paying attention to this thinks we're going to see a work stoppage in a couple years, after 26, probably a lengthy one. I think the owners feels like the owners are really going to dig in for a salary cap and for a revenue sharing system, as TV as it pertains to TV, that is much more like the NFL, meaning everyone shares it. Whether that means everyone's local product is brokered by MLB TV or something like that. I mean, MLS has done it with Apple, which some people have said it's worked out well, although league officials over the last few months have said they don't like it like that. I mean, who knows? But point is, it feels very much like we are going to see a salary cap, and it feels like, some of what you see, and again, I'm just going off of what I've read, people who cover the league at a national level. It feels like the players are almost, it feels like maybe there's going to be an acceptance that there's going to be a salary cap, but then they're going to dig their heels in on, okay, if there's going to be a salary cap, we need a floor. The Bob Nuttings of the world need to stop acting like they're so poor that they can't buy any baseball players at all, because that's BS. And we know that's BS.
Well,
That
here comes a
doesn't.
56-year-old journalist in me saying, then fix it. Because you know who was yelling, fix it? Me on the radio in 1993 and 94 when I was 25 years old. I didn't even know what fixing it was. And I certainly didn't know what the Baltimore Ravens or who Vinny Testaverde and Rob Burnett were going to be, right? Like during that period, it was fix it. Lords of the Realm. You're going to make me go read Lords of the Realm, are you? Somebody, Eisenberg knows John Hellyer. Like I know people that know John Hellyer. If I could get John Hellyer on here and it's going to make me do a vacation like you're doing the next couple of weeks, I'm going to go to Wildwood. I'm going to eat your pizza. Max Pizza, my dad's name. And I'm going to read Lords of the Realm again because, like, this is going to be a barn burner, right? Times has changed, too. Marvin Miller ain't coming back. Don Fear ain't coming back. I mean, it always should have, from the first fire sale of Fred McGriff in San Diego and the Marlins and everything, last century, when they were sticking Andrew Steen Dione wherever they were sticking it, needles as well. The clear and the cream that they could have fixed this. And that's really been in my lifetime, 27th anniversary, all the stuff we're doing here. It's what's made the NFL is having the ability for the Green Bay Packers to be this little place. We've gone up to the edge of the earth to see football and a village basically, be able to compete. And that's not in the case of baseball. You could say, well, Bob Nutting could spend more and Peter could have spent more, and yeah, but
They could
like
have.
at the end of the day, there you go. That's when you get, see, I just told you were going to do that. I said you were going to take the
I
player
mean,
side because you get your little dibs in, and that's cool. You're right.
because
You're
I
not
right.
wrong. You're
I'm just
not
saying.
wrong. You're not.
I'm gonna take bigger
Johnny
digs.
Angelos is in Nashville with $1.8 billion.
Here's
But
it's a
this is
very
a philanthropy, Mr. Rubenstein. It's a philanthropy. I mean, I should do comedy around here around this stuff.
I would just say I'm going to take shots at billionaires before I'm going to take shots at millionaires. That I will say that,
And
but
you are the deacon at your church, too.
I mean I'm just if
No,
I'm
I'm just saying, calling it
I mean
down the
I.
middle. You are right. You're not wrong. You're at all. And I'm not making a case that trading Rafael Devers in the middle of the season
Oh.
is fan friendly. I'm saying it's business savvy. And then you put the backdrop of work stoppage and who's going to have money on ledgers and like where they want to be financially in case this thing is an ish storm. If you read Lords of the Realm or know the history, it's always been an ish storm before. I don't know, but to me, if they can't all get in their tents and see that they're playing for less people with le have less arrogance, and that's impossible for these humans to have less arrogance. It just is. If there's nothing I've learned is that none of them ever wake up as billionaires like the scene in the in Scrooge, you know, where like they wake up and become, even though we're playing at George Steinbrenner Field this week and he was portrayed at the end as a kinder, gentler king, at the end of his life, you know, they never find the light, so to speak, right? They never see the error of their ways. They're never more awesome humans and, you know, people 20 years after they buy these things and they get wealthier and whatnot. It just doesn't work that way. And I think we're into an era with baseball right now where there is a shrinkage. And if I'm playing the grown-up columnist, would be writing the piece saying, y'all should get in a room and fix your place the way the NBA did 15 years ago, the way the NHL did. So at least they can survive and you can figure out some sense of certainty for the fans. Not just cost certainty for you guys, which I know all of you want and need to run a business. As Steve Bisciotti once said to me, we have an obligation to make profit around here. So, I mean, I get that. But I'm also of the mindset that the fans need some certainty too in baseball. And that's really what's been broken, right? It's been broken here that we got a new guy, and I don't even know what the hell he is because he hadn't said what he is. Nobody said what he is. Mike's our guy. Cal's half our guy. They're making Cal's got like an office, fake office. It's just like, dude, just tell me what you are, front face, and help everybody buy into it, and we'll fund it. But we're going to have to fund it, and especially at these local levels. And for Mr. Rubenstein and all these people to get in a room and try to figure it out before World War III, that they blow the sport up a year and a half from now and think that everybody's just going to come running back the way they have. I mean, losing the arrogance would be the beginning of all of it. I mean, for me, but this, I don't. That's why I don't have a lot of hope in it. I mean, and I think your disappointment for anybody who's a Red Sox fan in the way it's being operated, I think this is the way it's going to be. It's not going to make sense to fans.
Well, it's, but I, it's not, again, I'm not saying the Devers trade in isolation is wrong. I'm saying it's pretty wild to do it on June 15th. That's what I'm saying. That, I mean, that when you are playing well, I mean, you just traded your best hitter when you're playing well. You know, everything you say in a big picture sense, I don't disagree with. And look, my point is you could have traded Rafael Devers this winter. Anyway, you know, a lot of what you mentioned, I mean, we've talked about this. We're going to see how it's going to play out because it looks like we're probably going to have a lockout post 26, and we'll see what kind of appetite both sides have for digging in for a fight, right? I mean, it's, yeah,
Well, you might
and
see some more unorthodox stuff like this, right?
I don't know. I mean,
Well, poor teams are already poor. They're not on the hook for money.
I mean,
No,
I.
nobody's sitting on a Juan Soto. You know, this isn't the Detroit Tigers and the Royals 30 years ago where they were sitting
Yeah,
on money
but
and
the Red
really
Sox
bad
aren't
things
poor.
happened for
I
them, you
mean,
know?
the Red Sox have already cut payroll. I mean, I don't think this is about the Red Sox needing money. I think they're, you know, they're trying to. They had a situation that they handled poorly, and they're disappointed in how the player has handled it. And I think both sides have to take accountability with that. And I guess they decided, well, we're gonna jump ship, and we're gonna clear the deck, and yeah, we'll save some money, and you know, we'll get
I
out
think they
from.
are a shrinking brand financially. I
I
think
mean, they.
Bob Ryan and Dan Shaughnessy and those guys, when they come on, they talk about the Red Sox being a deep number three in that community. And I see a lot of empty seats there in a way that, and there was such a huge demand, small ballpark, Janet Marie,
Can I
Wall.
ask
They
you
were just
something?
making a lot of money off of every fan for a long, long time.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like it was a premium thing to just walk in there for 20 years at a high level in the same way that Camden Yards was that for 5 years, where like full price, everybody all the time, full all the time. And then it becomes not that. And I think the tumbling of revenue that falls from the optics of that, let alone whatever the buy rate are on these and the metrics on clicks and the metrics on what they're trying to do in a general sense when they haven't been as competitive. I just think that in a place like that, I think revenue falls a little bit. And I think that worries people. I'm just saying that.
Fair enough. You know, you talk a lot about it, like for attendance. Where was the goal? Like, what do you see as being good attendance at this point in time? Because I guess for me, I look back at this and I look
I
back
just
at
think it's a
this.
leading stat, right? Attendance. Are you buying tickets for
But
$5
is
or
attendance okay?
$150? You know what I mean? Because I go into Yankee Stadium. I was in New York on Thursday. I had the option to go to the Mets
Because I don't,
Nationals
to
game.
be honest, I don't think attendance is that big of a problem. I think television's the problem. I think that's where, I think that's the major driving force here. Because I'm not sure attendance is appreciably, like, is markedly worse than it was 10 years ago or 15. You know, they always say attendance is
I just
up.
think it needs to get better to generate revenue. It's gonna tell you more people are watching on TV. It's not just a window dressing thing. And I think it
Oh,
is
I'm not saying
impressive when
it's
they give
not.
bobbleheads away and they can get 41,000, 45,000 people down there. It tells you what it could be. It gives you some potential for how good it can be if they don't give stuff away. And it also tells you where their base is, where the enthusiasm is. And come on, man, you're out there every day. The enthusiasm's way down, which tells you, I mean, it's
Oh,
just a
but we're talking about,
barometer. It's just a barometer, man,
okay,
you
but the
know?
Ori I don't think the Orioles are a good example of that right now. I mean, they got off to a horrendous start. I mean, of course the of course enthusiasm is going to be down. Now, if we
But
want to
and
talk.
that's going to take revenue down. When there's less people there, there's less people, there's just less of everything. That not for their
I know
for their
I
signage. I mean, Wise
understand
Markets has
that.
given them $500,000 and let you know that is what it is, and they
But
have to come back and
I don't think that's an indictment of the sport. I think that's just the, if the Ravens had a lousy year, go look at what the attendance is going to be the last three home games of the season. I mean, there's not going to be anyone there. Those will be sold, but they'll be sitting there like fish out of water on the secondary market. I mean, you have to have a product that people want to watch. Yeah, of course attendance and enthusiasm is going to be down when they're terrible. I don't know what you want people to do then. I mean, people aren't going to come out and watch a
Well,
bad
I think there's a
product.
perception with the new guy they were just going to spend a lot of money, and they spent a lot of money. I mean,
They've spent it
like,
foolishly for the most part. Yeah. I mean, they didn't spend it on long-term deals, but in terms of a 1-year spending, Their payroll is considerably higher than it was last year, or certainly 2 or 3 years ago. Now, they were also at the very bottom. So yeah, you get to a point where it's all you can go is you can only go one place but up. But yeah, this is why this has been such a disastrous year for them. You know, what's happened on the field is one thing, but yeah, there are major financial ramifications and fallout for that. There's no doubt about it. In a place that doesn't have a gigantic pool of fans to draw from, right? I mean, New York, Philadelphia, Los Angeles, bigger markets.
I'm
They
sure when Rubenstein went to buy this, they're like, Mr. Rubenstein, you know, what a sweat, SWOT, right? Strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, threats, right? You know, what's the real threat to all this? Well, you know, extermination, because the players and the owners have never gotten along. They hate each other. They go to war every chance they can. They kick each other in the balls every chance they can. Let me tell you about collusion. Let me tell you about Marvin Miller. Let me tell you about the reserve clause. Mr. Rubenstein, you familiar with Curt Flood? How about the Whistler? Does he know about Jackie Robinson and Curt Flood? You know what I mean? Like, this has been war for 100 years. So now you're going to step into this. And the last guy, by the way, took the union side. So I call you Mr. Pro Union, Luke Jones. I mean, we had old Sam Gompers here in Baltimore in 1994 saying, you know, hey, look, you know, I'm on Cal's side. You damn owners, Adelnett, Steinbrenner, you know, like, I don't know what's going to happen. I just know it's always been awful. And I know when I start seeing $200 million contracts getting sold off, and I see that. The problem with young people, and I'm going to put you in that category for now to make you feel good. Gen X, Gen Z, wherever we are, cutting cords, all the New Englanders cutting cords, the optics of seeing Fenway Park not vibrant, just in a general sense, and thinking like, well, you know, and I hear the reporters that have been there a million years tell me that, and then they're selling off, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, I mean, the $50 million a year just doesn't fall off a tree, even for the really rich guys, because the really rich guys didn't get rich by like throwing money over the boat the way Peter Angelos did at Jeff Conine and David Segee 20 years ago. I mean, they're just going to manage this to whatever they need to manage it. And I don't know what Mr. Rubenstein, so I really don't. Like, I don't have any play on any of this, but I think the fan base here might want to or should. I know that they're not spending money on the television network or any of the broadcast, or you know, it doesn't feel appreciably different or better in most ways. I know they're going to rip up the stadium. That's going to be the real value added for the ownership group when they flip this thing 5 years from now, is going to be that the stadium's going to be more lovely, and they just think that's going to piss out revenue, Luke. They think that's going to fund Rafael Devers. That's going to fund Gunnar Henderson. That's going to fund Juan Soto. That's what they really believe. I don't know what else they could believe. And I try to figure it out with Marty Conway. I try to figure it out with Maury Brown 2 weeks ago. I try to figure it out with Rob Manfred if he was here. He would sit with me. If Katie Griggs would sit with me, I'd say, tell me how you're growing revenue beyond ways that I don't envision that your club level is going to become the Riviera, and you're just going to triple charge everybody that's already there. And where are the new fans coming from? Like, I and that's my issue for all of it. So when I see a sell-off like this a little bit, and I think about the backdrop of the game a little bit, and I see the Orioles trying to grow and can't right now, I worry for them. That's all. And I really worry for them on Friday nights when they take the games off television for me, you know? Melanie
Yeah.
Newman warned me that they're playing at 11 in the morning Sunday, though, right? That's correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the Roku game. It's free. I mean, it's free. Literally, if you have a smart TV, it's free. Download Roku and I don't think you even need to, you know, you don't have to sign up for anything. It's not something that's charged, but at the same time, you're talking about them wanting to grow their brand, right? That's why they're doing stuff like that. Streaming is the way of the world, man. Like, cable and satellite's not going to exist in 20 years. Might not exist
Didn't
in
you
10
tell me that
years.
you're having a better experience streaming
I
now than you
am.
were?
I am. I will, and I will give them credit for this because I want to, in the interest of fairness, with all the things that I'm critical of, I like the fact that I have signed up for Masson Plus. I have said that while the stream of the live game has worked well for me, the app itself is extraordinarily limited. You can't pause, you can't rewind, there's no on demand. So this past week, they put out a press release noting that you can now purchase Masson Plus through MLB's website with MLB.TV. Basically, they're brokering it in the way that a lot of other teams, like the Mets with SNY, they do it. The Phillies, I think the Phillies, they're NBC Sports Philly. I think that you can get through Peacock. But the point is, you can now get that through MLB.TV. If you already had a Masson subscription like I had, they have integrated it into MLB TV's overall package, which is basically Sunday Ticket, for lack of a better description for people who aren't familiar. And now I can actually watch the Orioles through the MLB TV app. Pause, rewind, fast forward. I can now flip to the Phillies game during a commercial, and I don't have to jump out of one app and into another one. It is a 100 times better viewing experience. So I will give the Orioles credit for that. And I'm guessing that will probably help their sales a little bit in the sense that you don't just have to go to Masson's website. And as we already
So let me get
saw,
this straight. For the $20 a month, you're getting the Padres game all night if you want.
no.
No.
It's only in that. See, I already had an MLB TV subscription because I got it for they did a sale a month ago, I think, for the rest of the season for like $65 or whatever. But I can now watch the Orioles in MLB TV. It's rolled over my subscription into that, so now I can get every single game
So you
on it.
bought the for my Planet Fitness friends, you bought the black card, basically by buy. You bought the league pass and the Masson pass. The Masson pass lives inside of the
They've
Major League
now.
Baseball Network thing. So you essentially had everything in that app except the Orioles before,
Yes.
right? So
Yes.
you could
Where.
watch the Padres later, the Devers play for
Yeah.
the Giants, whatever you want to do, right?
Yeah. Which, for $70, I got it in like mid-May for $70 for the rest of the year. That was $70 that I get basically every out-of-market baseball game that there is to get. So for me, I can watch the Phillies. I can watch the Pirates. If Paul Skenes is pitching and I want to see that, I'm going to watch Ohtani pitch on Monday night. I'd be remiss. We mentioned it in passing. But the point is, it's now under one umbrella. And now Masson has the ability that if someone goes to MLB TV to sign up, they have their overall package, which is still the out-of-market package, which is what I was talking about, which I had bought a month ago. But now they also, if you click on it, and in fact, I'll do this in real time, just looking at it. Right now, there are a number of teams that have their version of Masson that you can buy on MLB TV. The A's, the Guardians, the Diamondbacks, the Giants, the Padres, the Phillies, the Rockies, the Twins, SNLA, which is the Dodgers, SNY, which is the Mets, and Masson. So basically, MLB TV is now helping Masson by brokering their, that someone can go to that website now and purchase the Masson subscription. And like I said, you can watch it in a much better app, a better interface. And it's more convenient rather than how I was having to do it the last couple of weeks, which was click on the Masson app, sit through an ad, click on it, hope it works. I mean, it's a horrible app. I mean, it's terrible. And if I was watching the Phillies game at the same time, if I wanted to flip to that, I'd have to get out of the Masson app, get into the MLB team. And that part of that is just that's the headache about
And you're
stream.
already 30 seconds behind when it streams
Right.
anyway,
And
right?
that's,
If you're on Twitter, somebody hits a home run, you
yeah.
find out later.
And let me be clear, as someone who's now been a cord cutter for the better part of 6 months, and I was streaming things before, but before that I still had a satellite subscription.
You're one of them millennials.
The drawback of streaming is that it's a little bit more of a pain in the butt to quote channel surf between things because, yeah, you do have to, if you're watching a game on one app and you're trying to watch a game on another app, yeah, you got to flip out of one and into the other. And to your point, you might have to sit through an ad. So
You go
long-winded.
back and watch All in the Family, you had to get up and change the channel. Edith,
Oh,
can you
yeah.
change the channel for me? You know what I'm
Well,
saying?
that,
So
it, well, you'll appreciate this. I currently have a streaming service that doesn't have the local channels. I have a little mini antenna that sits on my window in the living room, and I get all the Baltimore channels since I'm so close to the Mason-Dixon line, and I get two Pennsylvania channels so I can get local news for, Southern York County, Pennsylvania. But yeah, I have an antenna. So as much as we think about things like, oh, like new age and streaming and all that, I also have gone back in time that I have an antenna that I
I don't
use
need the
for over the
damn
air.
convection oven. I got a toaster.
So it's fun. No,
That's all I need.
I've actually had a little bit of, it's been fun with the indoor antenna, and it wasn't that expensive. And I happen to have a good view of the southern sky in my front yard. That, my living room, I just have a antenna up on the window, and I get channel 2, 11, 13, 45, 67, and I get channel 8 and channel 21 in Pennsylvania. So has me all set for those channels, and then I have streaming to get the few cable channels that I want.
Well, look, man, you tried to fix the Ravens secondary for years and they finally addressed it. Then you tried to fix their wide receiver for years. We've been trying to get them to fix Masson for years. So Greg Bader knocked it out of the park with this, huh? I mean, it's
I don't
working,
know if
right?
I'd say knock it out of the park, but it's better at least. And I mean, this is what teams are going to have to do. I mean, this is why the next CBA, the next television contract. I mean, we've already talked about it with ESPN and what's going to happen there. I mean, it's messy. Everyone is trying to carve out what's next. I mean, the NBA, they've moved on from Turner. NBC is going to be back in the, how's that going to look? But also, Amazon and Peacock are part of that television deal, a prominent parts of that television deal. So, the NFL, we've seen it now. I mean, Netflix is the Christmas home of the NFL now. I mean, it's so everyone is looking for their piece of the pie, and it's a scary place to be, especially when you're talking about local TV money for Major League Baseball. But I think it also applies for the NBA and the NHL right now. I mean, they're all trying to figure out what this is going to look like when RSNs are going to be dinosaurs in a few years. I mean, they're all going to be gone. And other than, and the drawback, and this is where it's going to really be interesting when the NF or when baseball does have a lockout in a couple years. I mean, whether it's going to be 3 months or for a full season, the Yankees are still profitable with yes. The Dodgers are still very profitable with their regional sports network. I mean, the handful of teams that still have that it still works for, they don't want to let that go.
Look, when
But at the
Atlantic City went to hell in a handbasket, there were two or three casinos still making money. Everybody else was out of business, right?
yeah
Like,
yeah so but
and
that but everyone but the point is with
then
even
those
with
places made more money.
they will, but at the same time, there's still going to be a threshold here. There's still going to be a breaking point. There's going to be a breaking point for the NFL at some point. Now, it might be another 20 years from now that they get to a point and say, all right, we've gone too
Well, to your
far.
point, this is
But
what, and I'll end with this, but this is what makes Sashi Brown feel so smart, is every year he gets up and he breathes the air and the revenues grow. That's fun. That's not the way it works at WNST. That's not the way it worked at the Baltimore Sun. That's not the way it works at ESPN. That's not the way it works at the Baltimore Orioles, Katie Griggs. That's not the way it worked at the Baltimore Blast or the Skipjacks, who are no longer, functioning in the same ways that they once were financially. One point they all had, Blast had a big payroll paying guys money. Like, there was Canadian football was here for a minute. There are things that pull money out and put money in, and the Orioles are trying to figure out how to get money out, competing with the Nationals because they've lost fans and that money's there and it's never coming back and they're not buying the subscription now that they've parted ways with Masson, which was always like, I never watched a Nationals game in my life. Only when I got the wrong channel, which happened, three times a week, and my mother would call me. What channel are they on? Oh, mom, I'm on City Cable. You're on County Cable. I have no idea, mom. Let me come over. So a lot of that was going on even then. And you're all apped up and MLB'd and this and that. Hey, man, what time's the game on? How can I get it? What's the ease of getting it? How much does it cost me? And I think that that now becomes another barrier for people that aren't as engaged as you. And maybe
Sure.
I used to be, at least,
Sure.
to say, how much is this going to cost me to be in? Because you're a customer. We don't ever think of that. You think, I'm a media guy. No, you're a customer. You're paying them money now every month. Like, you really are a customer. We all are. And I tried to convince them of that for years. It didn't feel that way when they were sucking money and siphoning money off the edge of our cable bill. Now they have to direct to consumer, direct sales.
Yeah.
They better
Well,
figure that out.
they do, and the price point, I mean, it for all these teams right now, I mean, it's somewhere in the neighborhood of $20 is the lower end. That's the bottom end that you see with most teams. I informally did this a few like about a month ago. The higher end teams, I think the Dodgers, their streaming option, I want to say, is like $35 a month. Dodgers have won the World Series, and obviously had the highest payroll and all that. So, oh no, I'm wrong. $29.99 a month. So We'll see. I mean, it's all these teams are trying to navigate what it's going to look like because it's different now. I am more than happy to give Masson $20 a month if it means I'm not giving DirecTV $185 a month now to have a service that includes Masson. But for the team itself, they've got to identify all of the fans that are willing to pay, and then at what price, and then is that going to be as profitable as the old world that you got $2 from everybody in the market, and now you're getting $20 from
Those willing to
what
think it's worth
fraction?
20 that
Sure.
liked it when it was on their cable thing, but can kind of like just follow the games and say how much and what stream and what options and what credit card do I have to give them? And am I having to pay them in November?
Yeah.
And are they rolling it into my tickets? And am I a Birdland consumer or am I not? Am I just a guy that wants to show up at the ballpark once in a while? Me, I don't want to be in the club. I just want to put the game on. I'll go over to Costas at the racetrack and watch it now. I mean, like, there's a lot of ways that they're chasing people away. And beyond being a jackass to me, quite frankly, all these years later. But I wonder. And then to your point, if you wake up a Red Sox fan today, you're pissed off for baseball reasons, for legitimate baseball reasons, as you would say, right?
Yeah, but I think I see a lot of what was chasing people away is cable and satellite becoming so bloated in general. I mean that's the whole genesis of the cord cutting. The idea now where it's like I don't need to have 150 channels with nothing on TV that I don't really watch, and I spend all that money. Whereas I now have gotten rid of that. I have YouTube TV or Sling or something like that that gives me some live channels, and I like Netflix because it's got a great catalog that I can go watch something and binge it at any time. I don't have to wait for 8 o'clock on Tuesday night to watch my favorite show. I can just watch it then. So it really is a new world. And I mean, that whole business, Kate, television in general is just fascinating right now as far as what it's going to look like. I mean, I follow that stuff as someone who's a cord cutter now. And I mean, you wouldn't believe the stuff that is going to be going away. I mean, it's, Warner Discovery, just with Turner. I mean, that there's going to be a split there. I mean, after that was thought of as being like this media superpower that was forming here over the last year or two. And what's that going to mean for TNT and TBS? I mean, like staples of cable TV. I mean, are those channels going to exist in 5 years? I mean, I don't know, man. It's crazy. I mean, it really is. But sports as a collective entity is kind of what the only thing that's propping up. Whatever's left of cable and satellite and live TV. Otherwise, I mean, it's all becoming an on-demand world where, I mean, one of my favorite shows, The Chosen, it's a show about Jesus, his life, his ministry. Amazon is carrying the newest season of that. Amazon just launched it Sunday night. The first couple episodes are on, and then next weekend they'll have the next three episodes available, right? I mean, that's how TV is done now, largely. And
Oh, it's not happy days at 8 o'clock Tuesday
it's
night. It's
very
just
different.
not.
It's
Yeah.
just very different. And people love it because there's more flexibility. It doesn't, Netflix, I subscribe to Netflix. It's $8.50 a month or something like that. I have it with the ads. People will pay more without ads. I mean, it's a very different, severed, fragmented place. It's a fragmented world that
And
TV
only
has
people
become.
truly addicted to any of it or really have to reach you. It's very, very intentional for you to reach for any of these things for whatever reason you reach for
It
them.
is,
Because
but
when you start stacking them all up and you buy all of them and you see that it's $90 a month at the end of the month, you're gonna think differently the way I thought about the Baltimore Sun, and I was on the phone for an hour over in the Philippines trying to get off the phone.
yeah, I mean, and let me be clear. If I bought everything that there is to buy out there, I'd be spending just as much, if not more, than I spent on satellite. But I don't. I'm more selective. I still have plenty. Don't get me wrong. Like I have Sling, which gives me 50 cable channels. Like, ESPN, ESPN2, TNT, TBS. I've been able to watch hockey, NBA playoffs, like
I was in a
25 others.
hotel room Thursday and wondered if it had TNT. It did.
Yeah,
But I
but.
checked out of a bar between the end of regulation and I went back. I was just tired. I'm like,
Yeah,
I walked 20 miles in New York and I was ready to go to bed. It was 10 o'clock at night. I went to Glengarry Glen Ross and I'm
yeah.
like, hey man, I hope it's on in the room. And at Channel 33, there it was. Once
But
I saw
that's,
it at TBS, I thought, I got a chance here. I got a chance to have TNT.
but that's the craziness. You never would have thought twice about TNT being on something or not. It just was, right? I told you this. I started the baseball season having Fubo because they carried Masson before Masson put out their direct-to-consumer option. You know why I didn't like Fubo? You know why I didn't stick with it? One, it was pricier, a little more expensive than I wanted. They didn't have TBS and TNT. So there you go. I can't watch half of the hockey playoffs. I can't watch half of the NBA playoffs. So once Masson did their direct-to-consumer thing, I said, all right, I'm doing that. I'm getting Sling. Sling's cheaper. Doesn't have as many channels overall, but it has TBS and TNT.
You know what's crazy, dude?
It's kind of a puzzle. Like, it's
You're
a
making your
puzzle.
own point here, where TNT's had the big breakup with the basketball pregame, like all that, everything that's going on with that, with Turner. And it's a business decision up the thing. They don't care about
It
Charles
is.
Barkley. They don't care about the Jet. They don't care about any of it. They don't
Oh,
care.
they'll
Ernie,
be
they
on
don't care about any.
ESPN next year. I mean, Inside the NBA is going to be on ESPN next year.
Well,
But
I
yeah.
mean, that's the world we're in at this point. Luke is here. I'm here. We're not changing. We're still WNST Baltimore positive. We're not dealing Rafael Devers to the West Coast, but we are watching the Orioles go down to West Florida, take on the George Steinbrenner Field, take on the Rays. So I'll be doing a little baseball this week. Luke will be out at training camp for the Ravens this week. Lamar Jackson will be out there Tuesday and Wednesday. We will be at the Y in Randallstown on Tuesday doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. It is our 27th anniversary. We're going to begin to crow about that on August the 3rd. I'm doing my 27 favorite things to eat in Baltimore. It's going to be a lot of fun. Put a lot of thought into it. And I really want to take care of local businesses, and I want people to go out and experience some of my favorite things that I actually eat. Sometimes I don't put them all on social media, so there. So some people are going to get some surprises when I show up in their place. So it won't be quite like Guy Fieri, but I will eat my face off and be very, very enthusiastic about my favorite things to eat. As enthusiastic as a skinny guy could be at this point. So my thanks to Planet Fitness for that. He is Luke. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, talking deals and strikes and cable and streaming and cord cutting and all that fun stuff. Powering the business of baseball. We're Baltimore Positive. Stay with us.